Draft day is officially 3 weeks away. Joe Milton traded to the Cowboys. Geno Smith gets a two-year contract extension from the Raiders, and Colorado's probe day is going on as we speak. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns. Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Chris Kostich. With me, CJ Medeiros, Mr. Draft Guy. Draft is 3 weeks away.
Yeah, closer than you'd think.
Yeah, it's keeps getting closer and closer, and it kind of surprises me sometimes a little bit. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. Draft is actually less than a month away now. Kind of weird to say that.
Yeah.
So soon enough, we're gonna see where Cam Ward goes, Travis Hunter, all these top prospects. Where are they gonna go? But first, we're gonna talk about Couple little things going on with some of the quarterbacks in the league. First, we'll talk about Joe Milton, traded to the Cowboys from the Patriots. And this is kind of an ongoing theme ever since week 18. A lot of interest from a lot of teams that saw the way that Joe Milton played against the Bills in that week 18 game. Granted, we might as well put the preface at this point, like that week 18 game was against a Bills defense that was straight up backups, and they were
actively throwing the game.
Yeah, actively throwing the game. Nonetheless, I mean, Joe Milton still played a very good game.
He was okay, like statistically. But there's one thing that I do want to mention about that game. A lot of people that I've mentioned this to have said, "No, they weren't throwing the game. They weren't. They would never." To which I say, counterpoint. There were two separate occasions where Buffalo was inside the New England 40 and punted.
Yes.
Like that single-handedly proves it, but all right.
Yeah. So, yeah, you have that. But now he gets traded to the Cowboys for, what was it, seventh-round pick?
Fifth. Joe Milton and a seventh for Dallas's fifth.
Okay. So, Pats give up a seventh-rounder and Joe Milton for a fifth-round pick. So now the quarterback room for the Cowboys is Dak Prescott, Joe Milton, and Trey Lance, and Cooper Rush still, right?
No, Rush left. I want to say he went to the Ravens, but I'm not sure.
Let me double check that for you. But yeah, Ravens.
Oh, hey, I got that right. Yay.
Good pull, CJ.
Appreciate it.
I mean, this is a bit of a nothing burger, but with Dak's recent injury history, it could be interesting to see if this ends up becoming sort of a quarterback controversy next season.
Look, Chris, I really, like, just on a personal level, I don't think there's much of a QB controversy. I mean, everybody tried to make one with Drake May, and there's not to this day. I will die on this hill that there was never a QB controversy in New England. A lot of people disagreed, but a lot of people are also wrong. See, for me, my issue was, and always will be that just Joe Milton is very okay. He's a cannon arm, and that's literally it. In my humble opinion, he hasn't done a whole lot to prove that he can start in this league. And when they're saying, oh, New England's QB controversy, it's like, no. And apparently Joe Milton himself started reading the headlines when there were reports saying that he thought he should be the starting quarterback. No, you've got a deep ball. Your accuracy is nothing. And he's not really mobile. Like, he can scramble, but he's not as fast as you think in this day and age for quarterbacks, at least. And yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, hell, he couldn't even beat out Hendon Hooker when he was at Tennessee. He played in college ball for 5 years, always had that arm, and was a sixth round pick. And But for me, it's not even the people that thought there was a controversy. It's the people, some people, Chris, that we know very well. We know a lot of people who think what I'm about to think, who thought New England could have gotten more. And look, I'll address the elephant in the room right now. There were reports that from Jordan Schultz that New England, you know, they've always been a team that prioritizes doing right by their players over, you know, over any kind of gain, which is why apparently there were better offers for Milton, but he wanted to play in Dallas, so New England granted his wish. There have been some stuff that came out that has come out that contradicts that. I don't remember who put it out. I'll try to find the report. But yeah, so I keep hearing, oh, if New England played their cards right, they could have gotten a third-round pick. In what world
would
they have gotten a third-round pick? I'm sorry, like,
not many worlds.
Just something I don't believe. And honestly, I'm not willing to consider another point of view on this. I'm really not. And also, by the way, New England really didn't have that much leverage because apparently Joe Milton really didn't want to be in New England anymore because he didn't view himself as a starter. And
I don't blame him. Like this is, at the end of the day, this is a, you know, like everyone,
I'll tell you what this is. It's a bum, a glass cannon who's high on his own supply. Furthermore, by the way, this is per Albert Breer. Well, New England was in talks with other teams. In the end, the Cowboys' offer was the only one the Patriots had for QB Joe Milton. So they took the bird in the hand, which, by the way, completely refutes Jordan Schultz's earlier report. I'm just saying. But
what I'm saying is that we're living in a world where more people, coaches and players, GMs, anyone and anybody is going to be betting on themselves. And this, I mean, if say the Jordan Schultz report is correct, I'm not saying one or the other is, say the Jordan Schultz report is correct, this is Joe Milton taking a bet on himself and saying, well, you know, Dallas, because Dak Prescott is probably one of the more polarizing athletes in this day and age, not because he's LeBron James, but because he plays for the Dallas Cowboys and he's the quarterback for quote unquote America's team. And he's going to get a lot of media attention. And there's a lot of people that already have been up Dak's ass since he got into the league, or at least since his second year in the league, I would say. So, you know, you add that into the fact, along with Dak's injury history, this is where Joe Milton feels he's going to have potentially his best shot. Say Dak Prescott gets hurt, Joe Milton maybe QB2, and he has a chance to throw the ball to CeeDee Lamb. Hell yeah.
No. I get it. I do. I just feel like, can we just pump the brakes? At the same time, as you may notice by the title of this episode, if you're watching it, this is a nothing burger. That was and will continue to be my stance on this. Like, I just, once again, maybe it's me. I don't see what all the fuss is about.
Maybe
I
it's me.
Genuinely, actually don't.
Yeah. Along with a lot of nothing burgers, we'll go to Geno Smith getting a 2-year contract extension from the Raiders. You know, when we originally reported on or talked about the Raiders hiring Pete Carroll, they signed Geno Smith, or they got Geno Smith. It felt like everything was lining up for this to be more of a bridge because, you know, Pete Carroll's old as shit. We still don't really like Geno Smith played good in Seattle, and Pete Carroll should get a lot of credit for Geno Smith's revival in Seattle. But, you know, and the way that, like, Geno Smith put up a lot of statistics last season, but Seattle's offense was very, very, very hit or miss week in and week out. You know, one day they're putting up 40 points and they're making a game out of a Sunday night game against Detroit. The next day, their Thursday night game, and they're getting a 6-3 win against the Bears. So it was a very hit or miss season, and I like Geno Smith was kind of at the forefront of that. And now you got the Raiders who bring in Pete Carroll. They say, you know what, Geno Smith and Pete Carroll was a good tandem. Let's get them together. So this kind of feels like it's going to end up being a, you know, when you think bridge, you think it's just going to be a one-year thing. But with this in play, it seems like it's going to be more of a 2 to 3 year bridge thing with Carroll and Geno Smith. Because how old is Geno now? Like he's
30 something. Yes.
So you know that this is obviously more of a long-term. Everything's a long-term play. Geno Smith is 34. Like you're going to get at least one more good year out of him, maybe. And that second year is because the second year at that point, you're going to try to find yourself a quarterback that Geno Smith is going to mentor as the veteran, try to mentor him and groom him into being the next guy. That's just the long-term play at that point if you're Vegas.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure I understand this one. I mean, from their perspective, I do. Okay, like I get it. This isn't lost on me as to why they're doing it. I don't think it's a really brilliant move. You know, really don't.
No, I agree. I agree. But like when you also have the team that the Raiders have had since the year they made the playoffs in what that was 21-22. Yeah, I think it was one of those 2 years when they had Rich Bisaccia end the year as the interim head coach. Ever since then, it's been downhill. So you're kind of looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, all right, we haven't been a Super Bowl contender nor a playoff contender since then, and we're still not even close to that. Let's just take these next couple of years to build something out of nothing. And they already have two franchise cornerstones in Max Crosby and Brock Bowers. So there's your start. There's your start, and you build around those two guys.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I get it, but at the same time, I don't. I mean, just for the sole reason of they really don't do anything more these days than just play it safe. That's the thing. They're very safe, very cautious, very don't want to rock the boat team. And I get that's kind of what you want for a rebuild, but it feels like they're a 20-year-old still using training wheels on his bike. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's I feel that. Pardon me. Anything else you want to touch on from Millen or Geno?
The only thing I can think of is on like 98.5, which is the sports talk show in New England, for those who don't know, where they just spout nonsense day in and day out. And certain people that Chris and I know just love it. The thing is, they were talking about how New England has, quote, mastered the art of getting nothing in return for promising backups. And at this point in time, it's like, really, really, he played one decent game against third stringers that were throwing the game, and now you think he's the next Jimmy Garoppolo or Matt Castle? Just give me a break. That's just, I can't stress that enough. Like, one good game doesn't make you.
Yeah.
Also, he only had one good preseason game, too. Every other game after that, he looked really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I also saw another take about the Milton trade, and it was like, you know, you look at Milton, like they trade for Trey Lance and they've traded for Joe Milton, and they have Dak Prescott on this big contract that with a very locked in no trade clause. And it just goes to show like the Cowboys are always looking for the next big thing, even though they have their guy.
Well, that's Jerry for you.
The next big thing. Which is, I mean, that's how Dak got here. Hmm. They had Romo. He was on his last legs, and they had the next big thing, quote unquote, with Dak. So yeah.
Fair enough.
We're going to step aside for a quick break. When we come back, draft coverage, Colorado's pro day, and new report, Browns and Giants not drafting a quarterback. Smokescreen, maybe, but we're still here to talk about it. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns. Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast. Power 88 Dean Radio, Secret Weapon Consulting. Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros. Colorado Pro Day today. So going to get a lot more reports, probably more comprehensive reports about Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. I feel like what we're going to see is a lot of more overhype because it's Pro Day. So we're going to see a little bit more overhype, maybe. And, you know, maybe Shedeur Sanders, there's reports about him dropping a little bit further in the first round. Maybe his draft stock, this is the chance for him to rise that draft stock up, back up a little bit. So we're probably going to see a little bit of that. And we're also going to see a lot more Travis Hunter love. I think those are the two to three things that you can really confidently count on once we hit, say, 5 o'clock today.
Yeah. Oh, God. Now, I know every year we launch into our little spiel about the combine and, you know, how don't trust it. The same can be said for pro days, but on steroids.
Yes.
The amount of times a good pro day showing has artificially inflated somebody who should not have their stock rise is insane. Just, it seems like it happens to at least three or four prospects every year. The most infamous case of all, of course, being Zach Wilson, who made one really long throw and then mortgaged that into becoming the second overall pick, where he then proceeded to become a massive bust. So, yeah, like, you know, you gotta forgive me if I'm not jumping for joy. I mean, okay, at least for quarterbacks, a pro day can do that. Other positions it can, but even though Shedeur Sanders is there, I'm fully expecting this to be the Travis Hunter show.
Yes.
And understandably so. I mean, Travis Hunter's a phenomenal prospect, you know, great corner, great receiver, and I think he can thrive in the NFL, mostly being one, but having some design packages in the other, where, because, I mean, different teams see him in different ways. For example, I believe it's the Titans and the Giants that see him as more of a corner, but it's the Browns and the Patriots that see him as more of a receiver. So, you know, hey, you know, do with that what you will, kids. But, yeah, so this, I think, is Sanders' case to get his stock back up, because, once again, I do think he's a better quarterback than Ward. I think his ceiling's better. I don't know, once again, I'm just not a Ward fan, and the amount of hype he gets for being, as I call him, the body language MVP is really concerning. Especially since, like I said, you saw it happen at the Pop-Tarts Bowl. That was the real Cam Ward. This is an act. And you see him always chirping at other players, talking to the media. Like I said, it's just, he's so, it just radiates insecurity. But, yeah, because he knows how people see him, and he's trying to change that. And, I don't know, watch him get drafted and run over all by the Titans and then proceed to implode and cost Callahan and Borgonzi their jobs. But we'll see.
Yeah, and along with this, we also have a report that came. I forget who made this report. I honestly saw this. Schefter. Yeah, it might have been Schefter or someone. I don't know. It was. I saw this on Boston Sports Savage, I think, was the Twitter account. It was the same. I think it was the same one that also posted, "Don't shoot the messenger." But it sounds like Joe Milton thought he should have been the starter in New England. Yeah, it was Boston Sports Savage. He was the one that retweeted or reposted the initial report. I forgot to see who actually reported it. But Browns and Giants, accordingly, are not drafting a quarterback, which would leave everyone to believe Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter are going to go. shit, maybe even Will Anderson or Will Campbell. I mean, pardon. Wait, did I get that?
Say that again.
Will Campbell.
What about him?
Okay, I accidentally said Will Anderson first.
Yeah, that's why I'm confused.
I keep, dude. That's probably like the 20th time I've made that mistake. I keep mixing that up so much. In show, out of show. Once I have one name in my mind, that's like the one name that I stick to. And it's like same thing with pronunciations. It's terrible. But anyways. So yeah, this would lead people to believe Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter are gonna go in those two spots, the 2 and 3 spot. And with that, DraftKings took that as well. And the offensive line position is now the favorite for the Patriots first draft pick, which is the 4th overall pick, which would lead people to say it's Campbell at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Browns and the Giants not drafting a QB. Well, we're really not going to know till it happens or it doesn't, you know, this is draft season is also smokescreen season, you know, like, every other day, you're just going to get a conflicting report about what teams want. And if O-line's a favorite for New England, look, Pats fans, I know we wanted Hunter or Carter. And by the way, that's why we can say, oh, screw you, Joe Milton. You know, because, you know, if you don't win that meaningless game, then we're not in this situation. You know, you're the number one overall pick and you can end up trading back, probably with some team that's desperate for Cam Ward.
Yeah.
And look, O-line's just, it's not a sexy pick. It's not. And Adam and I have said before, you never go O-line top 5. But here, especially if Carter and Hunter are off the board, you really have to. And the obvious choice for New England is Will Anderson. Now you got me doing it. Will Campbell.
I think, well, the other problem too, like, and I think you essentially wrapped it up without even having to say it, is like, you kind of have to pick Will Campbell at 4 or else you're reaching on everyone else.
Yeah, that is it, isn't it?
Like, say you end up going a wide receiver that isn't Travis Hunter because he's off the board. You're reaching for Tet McMillan at that point.
Earlier that they wanted to go best player available.
Yeah.
And this is the draft to do it. But honestly, I do think that Will Campbell is a good prospect. I wouldn't call him top 5. But if I'm New England, I would explore like maybe a small trade back first.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're going to drop to like 20 or something, then you better get a King's ransom in return.
You better get Tech McMillan and hope it's in the next Reggie Wayne at that point or something.
I made it very clear. I'm not concerned about the arm length of Will Campbell. I'm just not. It's not something I think about. And in the words of Dante Scarnecchi, I'm paraphrasing, but I do know he swore, F that, if he can play, he can play or something like that. And that is something I agree with. The one thing I will say, though, is if they draft Armon Membu, I'm going to cry. Because I'm sorry, he's a great prospect, but he's a right tackle. They need a left tackle. And New England has a history, at least since 2020-ish, of cutting corners by signing or drafting right tackles and then forcing them left. And then in every time, it's just swing and miss after swing and miss, and they pull that shocked face like, huh? Like when it fails. Like, yeah. No shit, it's going to fail. Like, because, I mean, Membu is 3 years at Missouri and is a career right tackle. Campbell is the best bet. However, if somehow Carter or Hunter fall to you, you take them first. Because in the second round, you should be able to grab guys like maybe, what's his name, Josh Simmons or Ariante Ursary, Josh Connerly. In the second round, for the love of God, please avoid Cameron Williams from Texas.
Yeah, I want to do a little bit of, well, you know why the Patriots kept failing at converting right tackles to left tackles, vice versa?
Why is that, Chris?
Dante Scarnecchia retired in 2020.
Yeah, true. But either way, like, I'm still not big on drafting or signing a right tackle and forcing him left. And either way, they have Doug Marrone now, so I think he should be able to squeeze more out of the line. Because, look, a lot of people disagree, but I think outside of left tackle, the line's in pretty good shape. You only had two positions out of the five figured out. Now you got four or five. Cole Strange, you know, you use first round on him, and he's a serviceable guard. You know, he's fine. Mike Onwenu is a damn good guard. You got one of the best run-blocking centers in Garrett Bradbury, and you've got a sturdy, reliable veteran in Morgan Moses. You just need a left tackle, and you're solid.
Yeah.
However, before we wrap this up, there's one thing. And I want to pose this to Patriots fans. If Hunter Carter off the board, let's just say trade back isn't an option, right? You can't do it. No team really wants to bite, or you're getting a piss poor return.
Yeah.
Do you go Will Campbell or do you go best player available? Because technically speaking, in my eyes, so let's just say Ward goes first and then Carter, then Hunter. Technically speaking, the best player available is Ashton Jeanty. And this man's built different, but running back is the ultimate luxury pick. So it's really up to you, New England. I'm dreading this.
Because what, you end up having a – if you do go at – I completely forgot Ashton Jeanty was even a thing. That's actually a good point.
Because technically, like, in my estimation, he is the best remaining prospect. And I think he'd be damn good in the NFL. I really do. Oh, but like I said, a running back top five when you have a need at left tackle, that's not a great look.
Yeah. I think I hated the discussion around Ashton Jeanty, especially with the main conversation was how like the bowl game against or the college football playoff game against Penn State didn't like 30 carries for 100 yards, which ends up being barely over 3 yards carry, but if you actually watch the game, it took like 3 to 4 blue jerseys every single time to bring him down. Like he was not going down without pulling a teeth, an arm and a leg. Like he was taking motherfuckers with him. But
true. Many such cases, yes.
That game for sure sold me on him. That I can say that confidently.
Yeah, I just That did give me a little bit of worry because even though a bunch of people had to swarm to him, I think it's interesting we went up against like an actual like legitimate defense. They stuffed him repeatedly. But then again, like you said, it had to be like 3 or 4 tacklers to him on every play, and no one's getting there in open space. So there's a balance. But I don't know. The thing is, once again, New England, this is your fault. You did this, and Buffalo quite literally out tanked you. They you got the
W on the you and they're a playoff team.
True, like they threw the game because here's the thing: at the time, I know Buffalo's better, but if you're Buffalo, in the back of your head, you're kind of a little scared of New England because you know Drake May had promised, and he took you right down to the wire in Buffalo, right?
Oh, CJ, and, I got it. Hold on.
And on top of that, New England had over 100 mil in cap space, and they could have had the number 1 overall pick. That could make them really scary, or at least they're nipping at your heels overnight. So there's that. So
I got a good one.
So they did that. Yeah,
I got a good one for you.
Which is
Alan Sanders, reporter for Steelers beat guy for Pittsburgh Steelers now. Steelers hosted 4 players for pre-draft visits today. Ole Miss quarterback Jackson Dart, South Carolina strong safety Nick, can't speak today. Nick Emmanuel. This is going to be bad. I got a Holy Cross doubleheader later, too, and this is already a bad start. Iowa State wide receiver Jalen Knoll and Oregon nose tackle Jamari Caldwell. Jackson Dart getting a pre-draft, doing a pre-draft visit with the Steelers.
You know, Dart's actually a pretty solid QB prospect. He shouldn't start, but I think he's got the tools. He's a good developmental guy.
Yeah, I was about to say you could definitely set him for a year, and I mean,
honestly,
say you get Rodgers, and you got
I'm not saying that he should go first round. I am saying I wouldn't be shocked.
And I got another one for you. Jackson Dart is an Ole Miss guy, and you now have DK Metcalf, who is an Ole Miss guy, too.
True.
Interesting Ole Miss connection right there.
Could very well be.
Maybe that's the next big thing. I don't know. But that is all the scheduled content that we have today. CJ, you got anything else you want to throw out there before we wrap it up?
No.
Good. That's good. Let's keep it that way, pal. That'll do it for us today. Thank you for tuning in for this Friday edition of the Fumble Rooski podcast. New episode coming out on Tuesday at 7:30. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast, to keep up with the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, for myself, Chris Kostich, he's CJ Medeiros. We'll see you on Tuesday. Over and out.